Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'Em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. Welcome to God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Thursday night edition. Hallelujah. So glad to see all of you here with us tonight. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God, right now for all that you're doing, all that you've done, all that you will do, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you that your word says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Thank you for being in the midst tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we don't take it lightly that you continue to show up every time we come together. Thank you for it, Lord God. And now, Lord, we just continue to dedicate this broadcast to you and say, have your way. Move by your spirit, Lord God. Our speaker tonight, Elder Gerondo, Lord God, just touch him right now. In Jesus' name, we make a demand on your anointing on the inside of him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that there is such a flow in the spirit tonight in the name of Jesus because you are flowing through him and doing exceedingly exceeding abundantly above all we could ask, think, or even imagine. Lord, our hearts are open to you. Hallelujah. Our ears are open to you, Lord God. Do as only you can do. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And right now, as we close this prayer, we come against any outside forces that would try to come in any way, shape, or form in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that this broadcast will go unhindered even now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that your blood is in the airwaves in the name of Jesus. Your blood is upon everything pertaining to life and godliness with regards to this broadcast. Hallelujah. Only you can have your own way tonight in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you all for joining us in prayer on that. We're just perceiving some things, but we know that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And he's Lord over these airwaves in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. So all this month, we have just been blessed to spend time with Elder Gerando Thompson. Hallelujah. We've had a good time with him. The first Thursday, we talked about his testimony, or he shared his testimony with us. Hallelujah. And then, we just found out some things about him in the past how he's just been in the Lord and in the Word for a long time. Amen. So we're just excited about tonight. But even before we get to talking about tonight, we also spent time with him, and he told us about the Christian FM radio station, 97.5, and how it all started 20 years ago, and what is going on. We found out what's going on right now and what the Lord has shown him for the future. Amen. And so we found out some things about that, you know, the traditional FM radio station and how it works and all that. It's just been a blessing, just been a blessing. And so this week, we get to hear Elder Gerando Thompson preach the word. Now, not like we haven't heard him before, a little bit along the way. So we get to just let him loose today, you know, for about a good half an hour, 45 minutes before we open up the line. So we're going to cut him loose and go ahead and let the man preach the word of God tonight. So once again, we want to introduce to some and present to all Elder Gerando Thompson. Hallelujah. Welcome, Elder Gerando.
Praise the Lord, Prophet. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Doing great. I'm
good.
Excited to hear the
good
word of God tonight.
Praise God. So am I. Praise the Lord. I just been having a good time this week thinking about tonight and even last week and asking the Lord to do what you said in the prayer, that he would do what he wants to do. And so I believe that's the only way to go when God is doing it. Because when we try to put ourselves in it, things don't turn out right. So God's way is always the best way. It's the only way.
Amen. Amen. So without any further ado, go ahead and bring the word tonight. Hallelujah. Let
Praise
him use
God.
It.
You know, while you were praying, a song came into my spirit, and it's an old song back when I was growing up a little boy, and even a little later on in life, the saints used to sing this congregational song, What He's Done For Me. Oh, what He's done for me. I never can forget, or I never shall forget what the Lord has done for me. And I thank God for the opportunity. I was just thinking on today, while I was either at work or traveling to or from work, on how God allowed this to happen for the month of April. And it seems like time has just truly went by so quick. But I thank God for new fellowship, new friendship, working together with the new ministry that's part of my life, God in the midst. And I thank God for that, and I shall be a supporter. And I just want to let you all know that have been in tune that I thank God for your comments. I thank you for listening, even if you didn't comment. And I thank God for your prayers most of all. Tonight we're going to talk about, come from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and it's just a little different from the King James Version. Most of the times I'm always looking at the King James Version, but sometimes I enjoy going into the NIV. So, I want to give you just a minute or so just to find that. And some might have the computer or your phone or your iPad or your tablet and probably can get it quicker. But anyway, we're going to go from 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians 6th chapter and the first verse. And it kind of speaks to what is going on now and what the Lord is doing with me as well as others. And I tell you what, over the weekend I had a chance to hear after the pastor preached, well, we had a guest, I'm sorry. And then I got a chance later on in the day to hear on TV Pastor Cheryl Brady out of Potter's House, North Dallas now. And when I lived in North Carolina, I used to love her ministry. And it was kind of something similar to what the Lord has given me to talk about today, but we're going to go ahead and go. In verse 1, it says, as Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he said, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. He's telling us that, you know what, you know, God saved you and there was favor. You know, sometimes some of us, we get saved and we're excited when we get saved and, you know, we get filled with the Holy Spirit and we kind of just drop the ball. But he said in verse 2, for he says, talking about the Lord, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. So when you needed grace, God heard you, and he did it for you. And God is always faithful in his word, and whatever his word said is true. He can't lie. And, you know, he's always going to be there like he said he would. And he said, in the day of salvation, I helped you. You know, I accepted you. You know, I gave my life on Calvary for you. Now, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So, in other words, he has saved you and equipped you for a purpose. It's not just to say that you save and that you go to church and you know the Lord and that, you know, you're not a sinner. But you have a job to do. Well, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an elder. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. God has a job for you to do. He didn't save you just to say that you are saved, but he saved you for a purpose. There's a purpose in your life. Every one of us has a job to do. Now, whether we do it or not, that's another thing. Paul begins to talk in verse 3 about some of his hardships. He said, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. So basically he was saying that, you know what, God saved us and we knew that we had a job to do. And he equipped us to do and speak to you to get you prepared for what you have to do. And a lot of times we don't think, again, we don't think that God has a job for us, that he just wants us saved. No, it's more than that. He wants you saved, and he wants you filled with the Spirit, but he has a job for you to do as well. And basically in verse 1, let me back up for a second there. He said, we are co-workers. So basically he was saying now we are workers together, literally. You know, we're born again, we're saved, and we all are on the same, we're on the same level playing field. Some might have a title and some might not have a title, but we're saved for a purpose and we have a reason in our life. He said, I tell you, in verse, the latter part of verse 2 there, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So it's not, you know, it's not a thing where you say, God, well, I'm working on this now. I'm working on my degree. Well, you can work on your degree and still be saved and do what God gives you to do. I've learned that in times past that we have a lot of time, and sometimes we don't put forth the effort and doing the work of God. We should have a certain amount of time. I remember when I, at one point in my life, I decided, you know what, hey, I'm working 8 hours a day. One time I was still in the military in the reserves over at Scott Air Force Base, and I'm doing that several times a month because I had more than a weekend job. And then I do this with the family. But I wasn't scheduling my time with God like I should. So I begin every day a certain time of the day from, say, example, from 6 to 8 or 6 to 7, whatever time it was, that was God's time. That was between me and God. You know, I made an appointment. I scheduled to be with him. You know, I might throughout the day have been doing things with salvation-wise, but I made that time dedicated just for him, just like we dedicate our time for our job and things that we have to do. We need to schedule some time with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, when things happen in life and things change, we have to make adjustments. And I'll never forget when I was working the graveyard shift, I got put on that shift. Well, you know, I can't quit my job and I have a family. So what I would do is, I made it a point to, for my wife and I, we would meet at a restaurant, Jason's restaurant. We would eat breakfast at least once a week there. We would eat breakfast. Babysitter would be there with the kids, and we would eat breakfast together. God wants us to put that, for us to put that in place for him. We got to learn how to serve him in like we serve other things. Paul said in verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path, okay? We did what we were supposed to do. We weren't out messing around. We weren't out committing adultery. We weren't out lying. You didn't hear about us robbing and stealing. So that our ministry will not be discredited. We got to learn that when we're serving God, we have to uphold the standard. We can't just be what we want to be and do what we want to do. And it might not be something wrong, but we have to do and be obedient to what the Lord has called us to do. Verse 4 says, rather as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, not in some way, but in every way. You know, you can't skip church on Sunday just because you want to go watch a baseball game. That's not God's way. In great endurance and troubles, times of hardships and distress, in beatings. Now, serving God back in those days, I wonder how many of us would stay if we had to go through the things that Paul and some of the disciples and the apostles, later on the apostles, had to go through, and those that were serving the Lord. Imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, didn't know where they're going to spend the night sometimes. Now, they didn't have the 5-star hotel to sleep in, but they took it upon themselves to do whatever God called them to do, whether they had or had not, and they trusted in him. And hunger, verse 6 says, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. You know, sometimes we as body of Christ, we got to learn how to be obedient and to think about others. There are some people that God has called just to be a blessing to, and I've heard this testimony and the story in the church a few times about how that the Lord have provided for them, or people coming to town to the church and to minister revival or to just speaking engagement, how folks would look after them like they were their own children or their own brother or their own sister. And God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be careful of those and mindful of those who are helping and who are serving in the gospel. And truthful speech, again, they weren't out there lying. They were out there speaking the truth. Whether folks wanted to hear it or not, they were trying to help them. And in the power of God with weapons of righteousness, all right, they were walking by faith in the right hand and in the left hand. So they were operating in love, and they weren't doing things that were carnal, but they were spiritual in every way, and they were doing all the things that God had commanded them to do. And you know what? Serving and working in the ministry, that was their full-time job. That's what they were doing. They were out tasked to do the job and to make sure that the people of God would receive all that God had for them. Through glory and dishonor, you know, sometimes folks want to be out there and serving when things are going good, but when stuff happens where folks don't want to hear you or don't want to hear about the Lord or don't want to hear about righteousness, you know, they kind of back off and kind of just got kind of slow down. Yet we live on, beat and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor. That didn't stop them from serving him. You know, you got to remember that God is in control of all things. And a lot of times we ask God for stuff and we want things from him, but we don't want to do what he's calling us to do. We have our needs and our wants and our desires, but all he asks us to do is worship him and serve him. Yet making many rich, you know, they didn't have, but they've made many rich in the gospel, teaching them, you know, preparing them, letting them know what things they have to do, that things that they need to do, how to receive their reward, which is in heaven, having nothing and yet possessing everything. How many of you know that when you have Christ, you have everything? You don't need anything else. You have all that you need is in him. And, you know, sometimes we have a need. I don't know about you, but I can tell you this. Sometimes there's been some times, and this is not a cliche, you know, we hear this all the time, but don't you know that there's been some times that I've got checks in the mail, not from individuals, from businesses that are maybe overpaid or on a loan or something like that. I've got checks in the mail in the past for hundreds of dollars, and that's because of God. He knows everything that we have in and are in need of. He knows when we've been taken advantage of. He knows when folks have taken stuff from us that they shouldn't have taken from us and did things to us that they shouldn't have did to us. Then Paul goes on to in verse 11, and he's pleading with these people, the Corinthians trying to let them know about what it takes to serve God and that we've done all that we can do to show you and not stumble, to not we haven't defamed the ministry or anything like that. Verse 11, he says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. In other words, we served you and we've done all we're supposed to do. And you know what? That's what it takes nowadays, with especially nowadays. We have to do all that we're supposed to do and even more. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. Now, that sounds like a bad marriage. Now, God has done all these things for us. And you know, here's the thing. It's not that he don't know what's going on. He knows what you're going to do from the beginning. But he still loves us enough that he was willing to do all that he's done and will do for us still in the midst of our disobedience, in the midst of our not opening up our hearts, and in the midst of us not being faithful, in the midst of us being slowful. He's willing and able to forgive us and not remember it and then still bless it. I'm telling you, there's no one like God. At the Fair Exchange, I speak to my children. I'm sorry. As a Fair Exchange, I speak as I speak to my children. Open wide your hearts also. That's a teaching moment. He loves us so much that he is telling us of all the things that have been done to the apostles, all those who are that he's training, the ministers that he's training in the gospel. And he said to, you know, I'm speaking to you as I would speak to my child. And, you know, we all love our children. We don't want nothing bad to happen to them. We don't want them to go the wrong way. We don't want them to be misled. We don't want them to be taken by a stranger. We don't want them to have the wrong type of friends and be the wrong place at the wrong time. And so he's saying, basically, I've opened up my heart to you. So open up your heart also. Do what God is calling for you to do. We need you in the church to be usher. We need you to be someone that's to clean the church. We need you to be the one that's going to call and check on the sick. So there's many things that you can do without having a title. And, you know, I'm one of the ones that want to serve. God just wants us to serve. And no matter what we're going through and what's going on in our life, I've learned that if we decide to serve God in the way that he's asking us, then our problems, the things that are on our mind will just go away, and God will provide for us. And the next time you look around, you have all that you need and even more. So, you know, if we would just focus on the things that he has called us to do and not be disobedient, you know, especially nowadays, you know, it seems like when I'm watching TV or the news or the commercials, I don't know about you, you see these commercials and all these, you know, I never thought I would see two men kissing each other or two women hugging and kissing each other. And it just, you know, it makes me sick to see that. It's not that I don't love people, but I don't love the sin that people are doing right now. And if we don't open up our hearts and do and hear and receive from the Lord what he desires for us to do and what we should be doing out there to serve him, then we're not doing our job. We're being disobedient. We're not being faithful. You know, it's like, you know, you have a relationship or friendship with someone and you're always doing for them, but then when there's a time of need for you, you sown into their life, you bless them, you help them, and you might just need prayer, but you can't get them at the time of need. And God doesn't need that from us. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. and not only everlasting life. Down here, how many of you know we're supposed to be blessed and prosperous as well down here on the earth before we get to heaven? I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I can know is that I'm excited to be there because I believe by faith that I will be there because I'll never give up. He's never going to give up on me, and so I'm never going to give up on him. You know, because he desires for me to have eternal life. He desires for all of us to have eternal life. But it's our choice. If we don't desire to serve him and live holy, then we won't make it in. Verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. God can bless you and have been blessing you, and you're moving up and you are doing things and you're excited in your life and you run to the store and you run across this high school friend you hadn't seen in 30, 40 years and you want to start a friendship with that person. Now, I've heard people say that and until someone that's a born-again believer and minister that they aren't saved, they're never going to be saved, they don't believe in God. So why would you want to be around somebody that tells you that they're not saved, they're not going to church, and they don't want to hear it? So what do you have in common with that person? You don't have anything in common with that person. You can pray for them, but you need to move on. I don't understand someone wanting to have a relationship based on something that happened 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago when you weren't saved. But now you're a born-again believer, and God has called you for a purpose. The enemy don't care how he gets you. He just want to get you. The Lord has blessed you, and he's given you things to do, and he's given you a work to do, a job to do, and the enemy knows that. And so he sends in somebody that you used to be a friend with, that you used to enjoy hanging with and being around, but that can't work anymore. That type of a relationship won't work. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Wow. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? They don't have anything in common. You can't serve God and mammon too. Isn't that right? You cannot serve God and do the things that you want to do when it don't pertain to him. But some folks don't believe that. You can't serve God. How many of you pray when you there's a program that we're going to have on the show, on the station called Relationships Matter. Relationships matter. I'm not talking about just male-female relationships, you know, somebody's leading, you know, deciding if they want to be married or not. But the people that you know and that you hang with, relationships do matter. You don't need to be with someone or be around someone or be supporting someone that don't believe like you do. I hope somebody's out there saying amen. Let me say that again. You don't need to be around someone, supporting someone, or doing things that don't pertain to what the word of the Lord says. As a born-again believer, that's not what he's calling us to do. I don't care how much you enjoy that person, how good she looked, how good he looked, how much money they got, where they've been, what they've done. If they ain't saved, if they ain't accepting the Lord, they're living in darkness. Darkness and light can't be together. Like they, you know, hear people say all the time too, oil and water don't mix. So if you're in light, if you're the light, if you're living serving the light, if you're in light, what do you need to be doing with darkness? Verse 15 says, what harmony is there between Christ and Baal? There is none. I think I heard a mother called me last week and was talking about how quick he got kicked out of heaven. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? They don't have nothing in common. And that's the word. They don't have anything in common. So some things are facts. When a fact is a fact, it is a fact. Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? None. For we are the temple of the living God. Now, if you're born again, the Lord's Spirit is in you. So you have no fellowship with darkness. You have no fellowship with someone that's living a sinful life, and they're your best friend or they're your friend. Now, if don't get mad at me, I'm just speaking a word. If you don't love the saints of God like you should, you certainly shouldn't be out there having friends and fellowshipping with the devil. Because just like we are the children of the Lord, those that aren't born-again believers, they're children of the devil. They're doing what he wants them to do. And then, you know, you hear people all the time that says, I get tired of hearing folks say that, I know the Lord. And then they I've heard people try to minister to them, and then next thing you know, out of their mouth, in their words of expression, they're cursing, and they're saying this, and they're saying that, and, I did this, and I did that. We have to learn. One thing that I thank God for is the spirit of discernment. See, God equips his people, and he knows everything that we need. Now, whatever you need from him, if you ask him in your service to him, he'll supply you with all the tools, all the equipment, and everything that you need. The Bible says in Proverbs that wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Now, he said in his word, therefore, get wisdom. So you don't have to ask him for it. You could call wisdom into existence in your life by the way you think, by the way you talk, by the way you live. You can get wisdom. You can get wisdom from other folks that are living the kind of life that we are supposed to be living as born-again believers. And then he said after that, and all by getting, get understanding. And again, that's something the word says that we can get. So we need to get wisdom. We need to get understanding. Some people have the gift of discernment. Some people have other types of gifts. And so we all, as the body of Christ, whether we have a title or not, those gifts are available to us. Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? None. I'm sorry, let me back up. B part of verse 15, and it says, what does a believer have in common with the unbeliever? And we know there's nothing in common between a believer and an unbeliever. We believe in doing different things. As a believer, we believe in being holy, living holy. You don't have to go out there and just say, I'm born again, believe. Your life will show who you are and what you are. Your life will show it. If you're living a life that God has called you to do, to be, your life will show it. Sometimes in public places, when someone walk up on you and start a conversation with you, and they might be speaking curse words or other things, and you don't respond in that manner, or you don't want to hear that, what they have to say, and there's ways you can express that there's ways that you can express that you are in disagreement the way you look and the way you respond to what they're saying. Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols. None. We worship the true and living, the only true and living God. I've never seen anyone that worship idols. There are folks that believe in witchcraft and things like that. A broken clock, what do they say, can be right twice a day, only twice a day. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. There's nothing like walking with God. You walk with God. There's nothing like serving him. There's nothing like, a person that is not a robber or a thief or a whoremonger, they don't have, they have a peaceful life. A saved person, born again believer, they have a peaceful life because you ain't got to worry about, where the police are. When you get in your car and you're trying to avoid, you covering up and putting a hat on and all this stuff because you're breaking the law and done things and the law is looking for you, or you have been committing adultery with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband, and then you got to look over your shoulder when somebody might be, worried about somebody that might be following you or looking. I thank God that I've never had to do things like that. I had a cousin who was a victim of the national shooting. I don't know if you guys remember that back in, I believe that was in the 90s when the folks at the National Supermarket there on Natural Bridge in Newstead, the workers there were killed in a robbery. And I had a cousin that was shot in the back of the head, and a bullet hit a bone in his head and was protruding out, but he just played dead. And I'll never forget when we used to go out to get something to eat or anything like that. He always would be so nervous looking around and afraid because they never did catch the people. And so he was afraid, always afraid for a while. But, I thank God that when we are living a saved life, we don't have to worry about and fear when we go out in public places because we're living holy. We're not doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, and we're not being unfaithful. We're not committing adultery and fornication. We're not lying. We're not stealing. We're not worshiping other gods. We're not worshiping idols. And so it means a lot to serve God in the way that he has called us to serve him. He's given us all this protection. He's given us all these tools. He's like in verse, going back up to verse one. I'm sorry, yeah. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I heard you. So God is saying, you know what? I paid up front. I paid the price up front for you. And all I ask you to do is what I've called you to do. And, it's not hard. The thing is when you just, if you don't desire to do the right thing, then it's going to be hard for you because you don't have that desire in your heart to serve God like you would and like you should. Verse 17 says, therefore, come out from them and be ye separate. Don't hang around them. Don't be around them. Learn to do something else. Learn to go to the church and be around some other believers. Or, even sometimes having friends at another church can be helpful. Or you can also go online, and there's all kind of Christian movies and things. What smokers used to do when they quit smoke because it was they were so addicted to smoking, they had to find something else to do rather than putting a cigarette in their mouth, and it might have been chewing gum all the time. But you have to when the enemy comes around you and you feel tempted, or if you're ministering or witnessing to someone that may have accepted the Lord but are struggling, then we need to provide the help and the assistance as a born-again believer. You ain't got to be a pastor. You don't have to be a elder or minister, but we are supposed to be a help. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians about all the things they've done and they went through, but we need your help too. God has called you for a purpose. He needs you to serve him like you are supposed to. He said, therefore, come from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. Touch no unclean thing. Stay away from things that are sinful, that are hurtful, that are disgusting. Remember, Paul said, you know, we have done none of those things, you know, to discredit the ministry. Talks about all the endurances. Again, remember all the things they went through? Some folks, when they lose their job and don't have any money, they'll steal from other folks, or they'll steal from the grocery store because they're hungry. They don't have food to eat, or they don't have what they need. But Paul says, we put no stumbling block in anybody's path so our ministry would not be discredited. So the Lord will provide all that you need. I mean, if you know, I've read through this before from verse 3 to verse 10 in your own time, because I'm not sure how much time I got. But read through that again, all the things that they've went through, but they yet stayed faithful. Praise God. They yet served, and they yet heeded to the call that was upon their life. And that's what God is calling us to do today. That's what God is calling me to do, as well as you and others. And so, again, I thank God for what he has called me. I thank God for being a part of the body of Christ. And I thank God for loving me so that he's a forgiving and a loving God. He's a patient God. You know, I don't care how much you've done wrong or what you've done wrong or how slowful or how disobedient or how lazy you've been. God still loves you, and he's still willing to forgive you and will forgive you if you ask for it, and still he'll bless you. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. You don't have to worry about when you're serving the Lord. You don't, you know, I've heard some stories probably because of being involved in radio and wanting to have certain programs, you know, how young women, you'd be surprised that, you know, were abused by their fathers and their uncles. And same thing for men and young men that have been abused by their own brothers and their uncles. And so God, you never have to worry about that. You never have to worry about him not caring and not loving and not providing. You know, some folks have had to go through life and not have a father at home or not have a mother at home, not having anyone to teach them how to be a young man, how to be a young woman, not providing for them. You know, provide, you know, they do for themselves but wouldn't provide for the kids. So God is the type of God that loves you so much, no matter how much you stumble, no matter how much you fall, he's still going to love you. He's still going to be the same. There's a song that the Lord has put back in my heart. It's been around for a while, sung by Donnie McClurkin, and it says that we fall down, but we get back up. We fall down, but we get up again. A saint is just a sinner that fell down but got back up. God wants us to love everyone, especially those in the body of Christ, especially those that are struggling and having issues in life. Prayer. You can be a prayer warrior. Again, there's all types of jobs that are available for kingdom work, but God wants you to hear the call that he has for you in your life and he wants you to serve him in that capacity. I don't know who I'm talking to today, tonight, and why the Lord has given me this message tonight, but I hope that it was been something that has been a blessing to you, and that if you know you could help someone, that you'd be a blessing to someone. There was a young man recently on a bus, and he didn't have any money. He said, you know, he was late for his appointment. Told, you know, bus driver he was late for his appointment. He had to go to see his parole officer. And thank God the bus driver let him on the bus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, all I had was, I had like, I think I had $22 or $23 on me. I'm not a person that carries money around on me if I have it. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, give them, you know, $2 or $3, you know. And because I, in my spirit, I was, you know, saw that he didn't have anything and he was, you know, in need of some help. And then so spoke to me and said, you know, you want blessings and you want to be blessed. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do for lunch. But I was obedient, and I gave him the $20 bill that I have. And he thanked me, and he started a conversation with me. And in the conversation, I might wind up missing my stop and have to walk a few blocks longer to work. But he told me that he had just got out of prison. He was in prison for 2 or 3 years. I can't remember. And that while he was in prison, his mother died, and he couldn't see his mother, you know, come and see his mother or talk to her before she died. And, you know, and he began to show remorse about his life. And I didn't get a chance to – I wanted to listen to hear what he had to say. I feel in my spirit. I didn't get a chance to minister to him because, again, when I got up to give him the money, I was getting up to get off at my stop, and I missed my stop. But God has an opportunity for all of us to serve him in different capacities, and it's up to us to accept the challenge and do what he has called us to do. I don't know what's going on in your life or who God is speaking to tonight, but I pray that this word was a blessing to you, and that maybe it was from someone in your life or someone that you know or someone that can listen to it at another time. But I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for all those that are part of God in the Midst Ministry, those that are participating, those that are serving, those that are listeners that don't even want to call in at times, but you're listening, and the ministry has blessed you. I thank God for it. I thank God for Apostle Barbara Kizzy, and I thank God for the work that she's doing. And I thank God for the opportunity to come before you this month of April and be able to speak and to talk to you and to answer questions. And I just desire the prayers of all of you as I begin to do in another realm what God has called me to do. And one scripture that I wanted to also speak on is when Paul was talking about serving, you know, and the work that they've done. John 9:4 says that I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. In the King James Version, I'm sorry, that's what it says. The end of that in the NIV says, night is coming when no man can work. So night is coming. It's up to us to take heed and do what God has called us to do. You know, don't work, don't wait till night and try to do the work, because it won't work then. But do it now while the light is shining, while there's time, while there's a need for all the help that's wanted out there. Then there are folks that want, you would be surprised about the people that want to give their life to the Lord if you just reached out and talked to them. Just a kind word sometimes is all it takes. But anyway, God bless you all, and I pray that the Lord would bless you in all that he gives you to do. And I would be in constant prayer for, again, for God in the Midst Ministries and all the leaders and the pastors that I've had a chance to meet. And those I haven't had a chance to meet by phone, I praise God for you, and I thank you. And I thank you for your patience and your time this month. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That was good. That was really good. I mean, it spoke to so many things that have been going on, and I just I was like, wow, as I was listening. So some of the points I want to reiterate on is God has a job for everybody to do.
That's right.
You know, in the kingdom, everybody has something. I say this sometimes where, you know, if I didn't have any place where I could preach, I would do a dog ministry. And lay hands on dogs for them to be healed. Amen. Hey. So, yeah, the Lord did have me pray for this dog once, and I've prayed for dogs since then, but I prayed for this dog, and the dog was blind and was at my friend's house, and, you know, a friend or a mutual friend of ours had to go out of town, so the dog, she, you know, left her dog with my friend, and the dog was old, and he was blind, and you know, while other people were out of the room, I said, let me just lay hands on this dog, you know, and pray for the dog. And she, you know, my friends teased me about it and everything, but she called me the next day, and the dog wasn't bumping into the walls anymore.
See?
And the dog was going around like a little puppy, prancing around.
Praise God.
And so there is a job for everyone. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If we'll just step out by faith. You know, and I just thinking about that made me just kind of laugh. You know, as you were ending your sermon today, I was just laughing about that. Yeah, we all have a purpose. We're co-laborers with Christ. You know, whatever he would have for us to do. And, you know, tonight I just read something. It was just a quote. It wasn't a Bible quote, but it was a quote that just touched me, and it said, you know, God will make small things great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes people don't want to do things because they don't think it's great enough, or
right,
you know,
right.
It's big enough. Amen.
And that they're wrong. Yeah. You know, they're wrong when they think that. You know what? You did something. You opened up to me and offered me the opportunity to speak before the people on God in the Midst Ministry.
Yeah.
I haven't did something constantly on radio in a while. Now, what you did is opening up doors for blessings for others. So if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we're causing at times a slow effect to others because of our disobedience. Then, you know, we wonder why we're not getting blessed. And the Lord will get somebody else to do what we're supposed to do. But, you know, then I think about two in 1 Corinthians 12, and I think it's 12 and 15, you know, when the Lord's talking about, when we're talking about the whole body is needed, and, you know, foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not have bone the body. Well, yeah, you need your foot to walk, right? You need your hands to touch and feel and to lift something up. You need your eyes to see where you're going. You need your ears. Every one of those things are just important. And some, you know, so don't think because you lose maybe lose a toe, a big toe or that small toe, and see how much you need that toe to walk and how much more difficult it's for you. So everybody is needed in the body of Christ. And regardless, like you said, what job we have, it's not that it has to be an important job. It is an important job. You know, it might not have an important title, but it is an important job to serve him in the capacity that the Lord has called you to do it. Because then, you know, just like you opened up the door for me, that's opening up the doors for others as well through KWAP and the works that we're doing.
Amen. And then it's so many things. We're going to open up the lines. People have already started pressing their number one key. But I just want to make a few more points before we go, before I open up the line. When you were talking about basically being unequally yoked, you know, what does darkness have to do with light and, you know, all that you were talking about earlier. And it just reminded me of there was, I just lift them up in prayer. There was a man and a woman who were, you know, they were going to get married, and they invited me to their wedding. And I could not get to that wedding. I was on the plane. The plane got stuck in Chicago, and I could not get there. I tried to get there, you know, but and I was flying standby. So there was no room in any plane going in that direction. And then there was actually, and then I couldn't even go back home. There was no room on any plane for me to go back home. So I was like stuck in Chicago. And I was praying and talking to the Lord. It's like, you know, we talk, you know, once again, I'm your girl. You know, what's going on here? But, you know, they got married out of town. They lived out of town. And so, you know, they asked me if I knew a minister who would, you know, talk to them and perform their ceremony. And, you know, I talked to one of my friends who lives in that town. And, you know, kind of knew that the husband wasn't saved, you know. Mm. And I was like, you know, he not saved. And he talked about not wanting to be saved. And so I said, well, you know, I talked to my friend. I was like, well, what do you think about that? You know, what are you going to? He said, well, you know, when they get married, then the sanctified wife is going to sanctify the husband. I said, I'm leaving this alone, you know, but I'm praying,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
Well, they've been married maybe 3 years, and I get a phone call. The wife who saved wants to leave him. And, you know, she's putting things together for a divorce right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just, you know, just praying for them, you know, and praying that he will get saved. You know, from her perspective, she's looking at it from, like, a money perspective, because he's spending money like water, and she makes a lot of money. And, you know, things like that. But when you come down
Papa,
to
you, I think you knew. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think you knew in the beginning when you said you didn't believe that he was saved. That wasn't her husband in the first place. Okay, and so I pose this question to a lot of single and women or some friends, you know. A man proposes to a woman or he likes a woman and she gets the attention that's born again. But how many women actually pray and ask the Lord if that's their husband?
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody I knew one time on a dating site we had met, and she said how this person that came to her, this, I don't know what he was, he had a title or whatever, and said, the Lord told me that you are my wife. And she said, well, you need to go back and tell the Lord that he needs to tell me that I'm your wife.
Right.
You know,
right.
A lot of times people say stuff to folks, and then I found out when talking to a lot of people, a lot of women don't pray and ask God. It's that, you know, is he the one for me? You know, because he just come to you and propose. That don't mean that's your husband.
Right.
I'm just saying. Somebody don't like me, but I'm just.
Yeah. At this point in time, she said to me that she heard from the Lord and he said, get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you heard from the Lord.
Lord, right.
It's better. Yeah. So anyway, I'm still praying for them. I love both of them. You know, I love both of them.
Yeah, I understand.
So,
but sometimes we go through things in life, whether it's that or anything else, because we're disobedient. And I believe a lot of times we know. I'm gonna speak for me, okay, and some others that I've talked to in the past. We know that we shouldn't do it, and we do it anyway. We know we shouldn't go buy the car. The payment's going to be too much for us. We got the house note. We got, you know, four kids, and right now we can't afford a new SUV. Now, it doesn't mean that tomorrow, next month, next year, that you won't be able to afford it. But right now, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Again, we have all these tools and gifts and things that the Lord gives us as being part of the body of Christ. And we want to ignore. When you ignore the Holy Spirit, that's a bad thing. If he's telling you to do one thing and you do something else, I wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to
pay
for it.
I love what Charles Stanley says, you know, or what he said, obey God and leave the consequences to him.
There you go.
So, amen. Well, I'm going to open up the lines. I could have talked some more. We could have talked some more about some, but I will open the lines. But before I do that, I do want to say that if you would like to bless the man of God, we've talked to him this month, and we know that he's updating equipment so that he can get a full capacity on his radio station, 97.5 FM, and that's in the works to be taken care of by next month. Amen. So if you or if the Lord is leading you to sow into his ministry, you can do it via Zelle. And his number on Zelle is 314-600-0564. same number on PayPal. So if the Lord is leading you to seed into his ministry, the FM Christian Radio ministry, the PayPal is 314-600-0564. Both, that's the Zelle number and the PayPal number. Amen. Everything that you give is tax deductible. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I get I get a lot of people asking me about Cash App, and unfortunately, the bank that we bank with for the ministry, they don't do Cash App. They said there were some problems in the past regarding Cash App, and I was told that several banks, you know, are not using Cash App anymore. And I know my personal bank, as well as part of Navy Federal Credit Union as well, they do Zelle only. So, for those who have Cash App, I apologize, but unfortunately, our ministry bank, they don't do Cash App. So it's Zelle,
yeah.
And we have PayPal.
Yeah, it seems that Zelle has really kind of sprung to the top lately. The good part about Zelle is that there's not any fees. If it's PayPal, then once the money is in PayPal, and if you move it to your bank, it's going to be a fee associated with it. It's a small fee, but it's still a fee.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you for
letting me get that in. Okay, you're welcome. Now, let's open up the lines. We start with Pastor Mom. Praise God. I don't know if she's still awake, but we will start with Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. Going to open up your line now. And Pastor Price and Minister Rachel, I do see you, and so you're going to be next. Pastor Catherine, Pastor Mom?
Yes.
Hi, are you still awake, Pastor Mom?
Yeah, but listen, Pastor Mom.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Apostle?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay.
Are you saying you like what he was saying and you understood it?
Uh-huh. And that
okay.
is this. Uh-huh. So now I just go back up to the city and go back to my girl.
Now you back to... Okay.
All right.
And... Thank you, Pastor Mom. He's going to pray for you one more time before we go.
Pastor Mom, I've been thinking about you daily. I was thinking about you daily, and I was praying that God would give you strength when you went through. Did you go through your therapy today?
I can't hear you.
No, she didn't go through therapy today.
Oh, okay, okay.
She had to go the other day, though.
Well, I'm praying that you would be able to hear, be awake to hear everything tonight. So I just want to let you know that I thank God for you. Father God, we just thank you tonight for Pastor Mom and all that she's doing and her serving you and the body of Christ. I thank you for the opportunity to meet her, and I thank you for leaving
those around that be a blessing to us that are still trying to get to where they are. And I thank God for her and ask that you would continue to bless her and strengthen her in her body, that you provide every need that she needs, and that you would, whatever it is, Father God, that she seeks and desires in you, that you would be a blessing for her. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, Lord, that there not be any slips or any falls, and let her be aware of all things at all times. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Mom.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you go on and take your best one and just yes. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mom. Pastor Catherine?
Yes. Good, I just want to say good evening. Thank you so much once again for your message tonight. I just enjoyed everything that you ministered on tonight. You said God has a job for all of us. Do what God called us to, and go on and do what God called us to do. And serve and stay faithful. Yes, serve and stay faithful. And it just especially us as believers sometimes, we can start off with some things, you know. We can start off serving, but sometimes we just kind of fall by the wayside. We can't keep going. Some of us just can't keep going. But most of my prayer for the body of Christ that we just continue to serve him and stay faithful. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have a private question to ask you. So do you accept text?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll text you.
Okay, that's fine.
So you can text on that 600 number, that 314-600.
Yes, you can.
Want to say thank you. Thank you so much for the entire month. I've been blessed by your testimony in your life.
Praise God.
And I look forward to listening to the radio station.
Thank you.
All right.
Make sure you call in, and I'm not sure what day or time I'm going to be on there myself, but I plan to have a voicemail as well. That's if no one's there during the hours that you call, that we would be able to play your comment over the air as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you too. Thank you for everything. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Catherine and Pastor Mom. Amen. Okay, let's open the line for Minister Rachel and family, and then we'll open the line for Pastor Price. Minister Rachel, welcome.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, I've heard some of it, and I thought about the part I heard was like about the don't be unequally yoked. I was hearing y'all discussing that part. I'm just saying it is better to be obedient to God because we do reap some things. That's why it is wise to wait on God. That's what I'm going to say.
Because
we can avoid
some
of this. Because right now, in some situations, it's going to cause us. I mean, when we get back after repenting and everything, and we do reap some things, but God in his mercy, he do a Romans 8:28.
Yes.
And sometimes we are, because of our disobedience, we thank God for his grace and his mercy in Romans 8:28, where we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He tried to tell us to avoid. That's why it's best that we obey, so we don't have to go through his plan Z when we done messed up with A, B, C, and everything, D, E, and F, and G, and, you know, we've gone through the whole alphabet here. With me, I've been learning, so, and he always says, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourges every son whom he delighteth. So, it's a learning experience. Teaches us to be more obedient. It's better to be obedient.
Amen. You're right.
If I'm
going to
get
That's
in trouble,
right.
I'd rather get in trouble for doing the will of God than for not doing his will. I'm going to say it like that.
Amen.
Cavalier and fast.
Amen. That's
okay.
Right.
And God bless you all. Stay strengthened.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, oh, I got to say in Jesus' name. I'm going to seal it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, we'll open the line for Pastor Price. Welcome, Pastor Price.
God bless you, Apostle, and to Elder Gerando. I still have a little difficulty, Elder, pronouncing your name.
No, you did. That's right. That's right. You did it right.
So, Elder Gerando, Elder Thompson, I just thank God for you all. I thank God for you, Apostle, and for God leading you to have for Elder to come on for this entire month of April. Excuse me one second. Excuse me, I should have put that on mute. In Jesus' name, I had to cough. And we thank God for you, excuse me one second, one more second. George, can you turn off the air conditioner for me, please? It had gotten kind of, I'm sitting where the air conditioner unit is kind of blowing down on me from the vent, and it got kind of hot here down here in Memphis today. Excuse me one more second. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. And so we had the air conditioner on because it got kind of hot here in the house today. So I want to thank God for you, Elder Gerando, and Apostle, for you having him here for this whole entire month. It's been a blessing to my heart, and I thank God for you, Elder. I was thanking God for the word that you shared today. I'm from 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, and your other main scripture toward the end from John 9 and verse 4. And that message that you ministered today, Elder Gerando, reminded me of, you know, the man that the symbol for America, where you had the tall man with the top hat, and they call him Uncle Sam, and he would say that he wants you. That says Uncle Sam wants you, and that was going to the service, to the service where for the military. And I felt like you were in the Uncle Sam of the spirit today, because it was like a call that no matter what we do or what we're into, that God is calling us into his service. And I appreciate that. It's always appropriate for us to know that God has need of us in his service and wants us to go forth in him. And I just thank God for that. And then where the co-laborer, the co-worker, I think Apostle and I have discussed this and as well as some others, where many years God had dealt with me about being a co-laborer with him. When I came into the Lord and I had received Christ, and then I got baptized with the Holy, precious Holy Spirit, I thank God that I began to know how to walk in the Spirit. God began to teach me step by step to walk in the Spirit. And I thought that was just absolutely great. And then the Word of God says, as many as are led by the Spirit are the
Spirit.
Children of God. They're the sons of God. Well, I thought, wow, to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, I'm a child of God if I'm led by the Spirit. I thought
that's right, too.
was a wonderful step in the things of the Lord. But then there came the level of being in co-laborship with him, co-workers with him for the work of the ministry. I think about how I have 8 children, about 20-some grandchildren and 20-some great-grandchildren. And I can remember that in our life, in our lifetime, in the household, there were times that a lot of the work that I did in my household. I cleaned and I cooked and to go get grocery and took out the trash and did a lot of different things in the household. And as the children got older, they began to be co-workers and co-laborers with me in my household. My 2 youngest daughters, they're not young anymore. Both of them are grown. But they are now, we're co-laborers in the work of the ministry. Well, I mean, I'm co-laborers in the house. Our co-laborers in the house. I don't have to say, will you please take out the garbage or will you please clean out the refrigerator or the freezer? I got up this morning and one of my daughters had almost totally cleaned out everything, not only in the freezer, but also in the refrigerator. And she just had everything just spotless in the kitchen, washing dishes, putting things in the dishwasher, making sure everything was cleaned off and everything. And they'll come in, both of them, they'll cook. I don't really even have to fix any meals anymore. I do it. But basically, they're the ones that do the work because that's their co-laborship, that co-work. Well, that's what we began to be in the Lord. Yes, it's good to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. But when we could know what is that this is what God wants to have done, we know that souls are important to him. A lot of people, you know, know that there are material things that are important to, you know, to people. But where God is, souls are important. And so sometimes we might just have to take, as you did on that bus with the young man, take a little extra time. You might have missed your stop, but you're a co-laborer with Christ. We might be a little bit later in the store, you know, or we may have, like me and my sister did, both of us had flat tires. And out of both of them, both of the AAA drivers got saved, and plus other people, lives were touched. And it may just, because some people get kind of angry, Elder, with ones that when they go, oh, yeah, she going to talk to everything that moves, and she going to talk. When I walk out the door, I'm saying, Lord, use me in your service. Help me to see what you see, to know what you know, to hear what you hear, Lord God, even if it's just to get a name, to intercede for somebody, to plant the word, to water the word, that he may give the increase. So I thank God so much for that word that you ministered today on being a co-worker with Christ. Oh, would to God he had more, because the harvest is so ripe, as you know. But the laborers are so few, and I remember a scene where in the Word of God it said, I think it was 70 king in the year that Isaiah said, I think that was Isaiah, I don't want to say the wrong one, in the year the king Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then the question was asked, who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I've asked for. I said, Lord, here am I, whatever you want. And that's a thing like you were encouraging us. I said, Lord, here am I. Use me in your service. There's so many. I don't care if we're 70, 80, 90, whatever it is, if we're able to do. I saw when they had last night a big thing for Carol Burnett's 90th birthday. And she just started a new television show, I think it's called Royal Palm Palm or Palm Royale or something like that. But she still is not sitting down. She said as long as she can, she's going to do it. And that's what Betty White did. And there are other ones who in that are in the entertainment business, like Ruth Gordon and others, who just went on a long term. We see even now what's the man that just passed away? Harry Belafonte went all the way to 96. And so we can still say, Lord, thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the use and activity of our arms and legs. Use me, Lord. So I was so grateful for that word of encouragement to keep on going forward and be co-workers and that we to commend ourselves in every way. And then the last one when you said about John 9:4 is we must work. And that's one of the things the Lord says to me, we must work the work of him that sends us while it is yet day, because the night does come. I often say with her that everything that we have in this life is time sensitive. Sometimes it looks like it's going to go on forever. It may seem like this thing is going to go on forever. Whatever it is that we're involved in, you know, whether it be negative or positive. But these are time-sensitive assignments. And after a while,
Amen.
It will be gone, or the situation will be ended, and it'll end so, and you look around and say, oh, it's over, you know? So we do, I love that, that we have to work while it is yet day, for the night is coming when no man can work. And I believe that the older people used to sing, and I'm still younger now too, but others sing yes, that song, yes, yes, yes. And I believe that God is looking for us to say yes, Lord, for us to be even aware that wherever we go, whether we be on a phone call or whether I've been neighbors to my neighbor, I've been neighbors with my neighbor next door, and when my car got a flat tire, he wanted to go with me in the tow truck to get it fixed because my girls were gone. And we went on up there and I paid for the car to be fixed, the tire, and then said, look, I want to put some gas in your car too. So we went on, and I was able to pray with him, to lead him for assurance in Christ. So this evening, he knocked on my door this evening. Maybe, you know, around the time it was still light outside. He knocked on my door, and I said, I wonder, you know, what is it that, you know, what's up? And he said, I want you to see. And I came outside, and there was on the right of us, was the sun was shining, but on the left, the sky was just pitch black. And he said, this is some trouble here. He said, this is some trouble. He said, this is some trouble. And so I stood there and I just held my hand out up towards the clouds, that dark night of the one night. It was dark, the darkness of it. And the Lord began to pray through me by his spirit to speak to that storm and command it to cease and desist, to be rendered absolutely null, void, and inoperable. And I said, Lord, you said when you spoke to the storm, you said, peace, be still. And I speak forth and I dispatch forth those infinitum numbers, the mighty warrior angels, to go into that storm, to cause it to dissipate in Jesus' name. And I'm going to tell you, I went in, and after, you know, we went on and he said, I just wanted you to see it. And so when I went back in the house and I came and sat by my bed, which faces outside where you can see up, and I looked up and everything dissipated. I mean, the blackness
Praise
went
God.
Away, and the sun came back out over the area. I said, "Look at God." I said, "Look at Jesus." Nobody but Jesus. So there are things that God will have us to be able to be where He would even be confident enough before He hadn't to even knock on my door and say, "Look." Because I'm going to be out there praying, and we're going to be praying. That's what my daughters, we all pray, but I give glory to God. So I want to thank God for you. Thank God for the total month. I have a scripture that I want to share with you very quickly that God has given me. It was when the prodigal son had left, and he came back, and the older brother was so angry, and he said, "You never done this for me." And it said in Luke 15 and verse 31, he said, "I'm with you. You're with me always." He said, "And all that I have," one translation said, "all that I have belongs to you." He said, "Everything I have belongs to you." So I thank God for that scripture because I believe, Elder, that everything that God has belongs to you. And I thank God for everything being provided, not only for this particular station, but your desire has been to have several stations throughout the United States and maybe even perhaps the world. Because when we've been faithful in a few things, God will make us ruler over much. So I thank God for you. I'm looking for great things of what God is doing. And it even spurs ones of us to say that they said in the word that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, we don't want to limit God. Maybe God wants us, others to be able to have radio stations and television stations. You see Paul and Jan Crouch where they had give God, they're gone on to be with the Lord, but their son is still in the ministry there where they're reaching the world. So I just thank God. I thank God for what God is having you to do, and I thank God for providing everything that you will need to go forth, because all that he has, all the silver and gold belongs to God, so it belongs to Elder Gerondo. All the cattle on the thousand hills belong to God, and that belongs to Elder Gerondo. And all those radio stations belong to God, and that belongs also to the body of Christ and to Elder Gerondo. So I thank God for you, man of God. I thank God for the word I heard tonight. It blessed my heart, and I give glory and honor to God for you in Jesus' name. God bless you, man of God. I'll go back on mute.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Price. Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's everybody who has their number one key press. So we're going to take out some time now and, of course, you know, lead people to Jesus. Hallelujah. We always like to do that here. And then we'll talk about what's coming up on the God of the Myth, Get 'em Radio family of broadcasts. Now, before we do that, I just, you know, want to be led by the Lord and sensitive to his spirit. And, you know, I want to pray for you, Elder, and just see what the Lord is saying to you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Elder Gerondo. We thank you for being us and then making this connection that we can, we've had him here with us for this month, every Thursday. And so we thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you for his availability in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just hear the Lord saying to you, you have been faithful and you have been true. You have been faithful and you have been true. No one but me, saith the Lord, knows all that you've been through. Everything that has happened in the background, nobody knows but me and you, the fullness of everything that you've been through. I love you, my son. Be at peace, knowing that I'm looking at you right now, saying that you are my good and faithful son. And no, you have not dotted every I and you've not crossed every T. But your heart poured in. Everything that I've had you to do has been very important. You just did it one step at a time. And there's clarity that's going to be seen soon. You'll go back and trace the steps and know that I have placed you at the right place, at the right time, for such a time as this. Today I tell you, I strengthen you with might in the inner man by my Holy Spirit. I strengthen your bones. I strengthen your muscles. I strengthen every cell, organ, and tissue of your body. I strengthen your mind, saith the Lord, your will, and even your emotions in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I renew your youth as the eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I renew your youth as the eagle. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. And you shall soar, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Time with the radio station, you had to work hard, kind of like flapping your wings against the wind. But now, saith the Lord, you shall soar, hallelujah, with the wind of my presence, you shall soar, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, I know you didn't know what was going on with me and my body. I know you didn't know my desires for broadcasting and so I thank God for using you to confirm some things for me. And been praying about some health issues. And a mother had called me last weekend and spoke a word to me regarding that and the work that's to be done. And so it's all in agreement with what you're saying. And I thank God for blessing. And I'm looking forward to him. You know, I just feel like it's going to be not a revival, but souls is going to be coming, you know, because a revival is to revive saints, but, to, you know, souls that are being won and being coming to Christ. I can see it right before me. And I thank God for the opportunity, and I'm so thankful again for, for hearing from you and different ones on the radio ministry, from Get Up Ministry. So, yes,
amen.
There is, as far as I was obedient to the Holy Spirit. I think it was last week I had, for the last few weeks, well, since I've been on with you this month, the Holy Spirit, you know, has been on me about my EIN number.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not for the nonprofit. This is for my personal, when I had, you know, what I had created for personal radio, you know. And so I was obedient. I was like, what? You know, because I don't have what I need right now, you know. But I was obedient. And I found it, paperwork last week. And I couldn't get anybody at the IRS. And so on Monday I called, and the young lady answered the phone, and the guy gave me favor. It was just so easy to, I told her what I was calling about to see, you know, if it was still active. And I had moved. He had the address, the old address that you had. And I was going to ask for paperwork with the new address on it anyway. And before I could ask, she said, you want me to send you a new copy with your current, you know, business address? I said, sure, thank you. And so the Lord is putting some things in place, I believe, to do even more, you know. But I'm just, you know what you were saying and the word that you spoke, the prophecy, even though things have been gone through in my body, I feel like a young person still. I know that sounds crazy, you know, but through all the illness and sickness that's been happening, I still felt like a young person. And I know, even going places, I still feel like, you know, felt like a young person. I'm 65 years old, but I don't feel 65 when it comes to age-wise. Let's put it like that. I don't feel 65. And so I thank God for hearing from him through you, and that's kind of confirming some things that. So I know if he's saying that he's going to make everything possible for it to happen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, but we're going to come back to you. Just rest for a few moments. Amen. And we'll be back to you in just a few moments for our closing remarks and closing prayer. Hallelujah. If you're listening tonight and you may not be quite for sure that you are born again, that you are saved, you know, as we were taught, as Elder was talking today about serving the Lord and, you know, how he's called us to serve him and we all have a job. Well, your first job is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And then after that, then we become co-laborers in Christ. Hallelujah. And so here's your time to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. And God so loves. He doesn't just love. He so loves us. And he doesn't just so love the people who love him. He loves the whole world. Amen. And then, so this is a love thing. Hallelujah. And then with Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Amen. And believing in your heart is making a choice to believe by faith that the Bible says is true. What Jesus did is true. What God did, raising Jesus from the dead, is true. Hallelujah. And so you believe it in your heart and say it out of your mouth. And when you do that, you are saved. You are born again. So repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, I know. That sounded so easy, so simple. How can it be that easy? How can it be that simple to be born again? It's because Jesus did all the work. Hallelujah. He did what was necessary to do. That was coming and bleeding, suffering, and dying on the cross for each of us. Hallelujah. So he did that. And so our part, we have a part in this. Our part is to believe it in our heart, to receive it, and then to confess it or speak it out of our mouth. Hallelujah. And then after that, then he'll clean us up. First he has to catch us, then he'll clean us up. Amen. And so we want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. We want to welcome you to his kingdom of righteousness. We want to welcome you as a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet in Jesus' name and fill them to overflowing with your precious Holy and with power. Power to live right, power to walk right, and power to do right. And then even power to pray in their prayer language, hallelujah, speaking in tongues, and then power to read the word of God and to understand it whenever they read it. And Lord God, we thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So welcome, 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 welcome. Hallelujah to the kingdom of God. Amen. And then we want to invite you to come and learn and grow with us. Amen. We are the God in the Midst Get 'em Radio family of broadcasts. And so the Lord has put together all of these broadcasts to help us learn and grow together. To a Bible-believing church and learn and grow. And you can also come and learn and grow with us. And we can do that together. Now, we have several broadcasts. All of our broadcasts, you can reach us and as we air and be a part of the conversation by calling area code 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. One more time, 516-418-5699. Amen. Hallelujah. And on Sunday, we have, this is what we do in the Get 'em Radio family of broadcasts. Every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, we have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. Amen. And this Sunday, we have a special treat. Pastor Price and the Memphis Covenant Faith Church is going to be our guest church on this Sunday. We have them here on the fifth Sunday of every month. So we're excited to have them. Pastor Price is going to minister, and so will her daughters, Minister Joy and Minister Amber. So meet us on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. On Mondays, that is our Bible teaching time. And we have Dr. Lorraine Navarro, who teaches the Word of God, and she digs into the Word of God, and then she teaches us how to dig into the Word of God as well. So that's every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, that's our prayer time, p.m. Eastern. Hallelujah. We have four people who pray in tongues for about 15 minutes at a time. And hallelujah. And then we have our interpretation time. So meet us on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Wednesdays, now a couple of things are happening on the second Wednesday and on the fourth Wednesday of the month. We just finished the fourth Wednesday of the month yesterday. And so our next broadcast on Wednesday will be the second Wednesday in May, and that's Wednesday, October the 10th. And that's when we have our healing service, healing. And what God does is he reveals the ailments that are going to be healed prior to the broadcast. And during the broadcast, people call in and are healed, because what God reveals, he heals. And our co-host, our Elder Philip Hawkey, and his wife, Minister Linda Hawkey. And God meets us every time on these second Wednesdays. And someone always gets healed. Hallelujah. So that's the second Wednesday of the month, May the 10th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then video addition to our family, to our radio family, and that is on the fourth Wednesday of every month. And so the next time will be Wednesday, May the 24th. And what happens and it's called the Anointed Pandemic Baby. So we have, the Lord has highlighted to us that there are these precious babies who are now here. Hallelujah. They could have been aborted. They could have died from COVID, but they're here right now. And these Anointed Pandemic Babies are between newborn, just being born, and about 4 years old. Hallelujah. So we're talking about them, and then we're talking to God about them as well. Hallelujah. And then on Thursday, we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. And so this is the last one for the month of April. As we go into the month of May, on Thursday night, every Thursday in the month of May, we will be highlighting a wise mother. Amen. We haven't done Wise Mother's Month in a while. So the wise mother that I know the most is Pastor Mom. Hallelujah. So we'll start with her and interviewing her on next Thursday coming up for Wise Mother's Month. Amen. So thank you all for being with us tonight and hanging with us through what was a wonderful time with Elder Gerondo Thompson. Amen. So, Elder, we're going to have you do some closing remarks and go ahead and close us out in prayer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Again, thank you all again at Get 'Em. I'm going to leave you with the scripture, Isaiah 49:8, and it's in NIV. This is what the Lord says: in a time of my favor, I will answer you, and in a day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, and to reassign its desolate inheritance. So those places where there aren't any people, God's going to give it to you. Those places, God's going to cause inheritance in your life. And I just want to, you know, the devil tried to keep me from saying that and speaking it, but the Lord gave me where it was, and I got it. And I wanted to say it because I want to be a blessing to somebody. I don't know who it is, but God, you know, had me say it for a reason, and I just want to thank you. Thank you all for your comments. I love you with the love of God, and I pray that he will be a blessing in everyone's life. Thank you again, Pastor Mom. You sound very good, like you did last week, and I appreciate you being with us. And thank you again, Apostle Izzy, for being a blessing to me and allowing me to be a guest on Get 'Em for this month. Thank you, everyone, for your help and your support. And I just ask for your prayers continually, and you'll be hearing me because I'm a member now. But I thank God for everyone. But so, amen. Father God, we just thank you tonight for your many blessings. We thank you for the new opportunities, the blessings, the new fellowships, the new friendships, the new co-workers. We thank you for all that you've done with Get 'Em. We thank you for Apostle and all the work that she and her associates have put into the ministry. We thank you for the church and for the services and even the new programs. We pray that you would bless them and grow them and expand the ministry and the broadcast even into video blogging, Father God. We thank you for all that you've done and what you're going to do, because by faith we believe and receive because of the word that's going forth over this program, that it's going to be a blessing not only to the hearers, but for those who are speaking the word because they're obedient to you, Father God. We thank you for, again, this night, and we thank you for all month long for being a blessing. Thank you for allowing me to participate and be a part of Get Up God in the Midst. And I just praise you for it. We pray your blessings and your health and your healing, your protection and guidance and direction over everyone that's involved and over everyone that's a member, everyone that hears that, and participates. We pray for that you would give them the desires of their hearts, and that, Father God, that someone would be more encouraged to serve you in the capacity that you have for them to do. Bless everyone in health and healing. Bless them financially, naturally, and spiritually. So we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Elder Gerondo. And everyone, have a blessed rest of the night. Love you all.